thank you for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show, and you are listening to episode number 95. We recorded this week's show at Big Daddy E's Barbecue, a new sponsor for us at the show here. Eric Vanier put on a good spread, and we had a good time out there with Jack Osborne, who is a local musician and Chino Valley character. Just a good guy. I had never met Jack until this past Friday when we sat down to record. But I had hooked up with him on Facebook, and we share some mutual acquaintances in the local music scene. Jack is a guitarist at heart, and like I said, just a character by nature, a good friend of mine now, I hope. Had a great time sitting down talking with both him and his wife in the patio there at Big Daddy's. Jack has a newly tuned talent in the last number of years when he began making cigar box guitars, and that's what he does now for fun and for a little profit. You can find out about Jack and his work at AZ Aardvark Cigar Box Guitars. AZ Aardvark Cigar Box Guitars. I butchered that. Sorry, Jack. But find him on Facebook. Again, AZ Aardvark's Cigar Box Guitars. You want to find him there. It's got some clips of him playing guitar, some photos of his product, and also he does a really good job about sharing posts of local musicians and local venues where he and his friends can be heard. He actually hasn't played in a while in public, he said. He's had some health issues, but he played a little for us, just strummed a little bit, and said he may be exploring the possibility of playing in public soon. So you will see him, his beard, and possibly his guitar out and about in the area, Chino and Prescott. So sit back and enjoy my conversation. It's a little shorter than normal. I think we're going to start doing that. We're going to start trimming these episodes down a little bit, just to save you, the listeners, some time and maybe give you a little cleaner interviews. That's my goal for moving forward as we close up our second year of recording. Just to tighten it up a little bit, have a little fun, but not stretch them. As I get to talking though, and I lose track of time. I have fun doing it, but I've heard some feedback that maybe we're getting a little lengthy in our episodes. But that's just because I talk a lot, like I'm doing now. Today's show is brought to you by Big Daddy E's Barbecue. Check them out online at Big Daddy ease.com. There's links to their Facebook page as well in there. Hours and menu. And every Friday through the summer months, there is music out there from 4:30 to 6:30. They may be extending that out a little bit into the later evening, like 6:30, 7:30, whatever, because of the heat. So it cools off right around 5:30, 6 o'clock when the guys and gals are wrapping up their set. So Eric's talking about maybe extending that out a little bit. But some great music out there on the patio, fronted by Sky Conwell. He plays a regular gig there and then books the other Fridays. Les Lyman, P.K. Gregory, Paul T. Morris. Maybe we'll even get Jack Osborne out there to pluck away on his cigar box guitar. But check the Big Daddy E's Facebook page. Check out Sky Conwell's Facebook page and all the other musicians to find out who's playing out there. Or just stop on by Big Daddy's because the flyers are on the wall announcing who will be in the patio. So it's been a busy weekend for me myself, because I had the opportunity and the privilege to join a few friends of the show in their wedded bliss. We had two weddings this weekend, so I was up till about 4:30 this morning doing some editing after photographing for Jenny T, Jennifer Tobin, and her new hubby, Anthony Maxwell, who they got married this past weekend. It was a great time. You probably know Jennifer's name from the Mile High Comedy Theater. She's been on this show in the past with her comedy partner, Cisco Ortiz. And Jennifer and her husband, Anthony Maxwell, were married this past week. I got the opportunity to be there with them. So congratulations to Jenny and Anthony. It was a great time at the reception. Her family is, you know exactly where Jennifer gets her funny bone from. Her father is hilarious. The man needs to be on stage himself. He was actually Saturday night at the reception. Her entire family, very, very funny folks. And when you get a chance to see the Mile High Comedy Theater, they do a quarterly show at the Elks. Get a chance to get out there as well, because Jennifer herself is very, very funny. Does a lot of great characters. Does some outstanding improv along with her counterpart. So there's I'm gonna miss somebody. I know Cisco Ortiz, Cynthia Kitsobo, who kind of runs that Mile High Comedy Theater, and a bunch of others out there. I got a chance to see them a couple of months back right after interviewing Wayne Fetterman for a past podcast that you can find at milehighshow.com. So look for Mile High Comedy Theater when they are performing at the Elks. They do so every few months. And also, congratulations to Mr. Sky Conwell and Lady R, Rhonda Ross, who were married yesterday, as a matter of fact, Sunday, over at the Residence Inn, where Sky performs periodically. That was just a gathering of some of the best musicians around. There was some great music going on. I should have made a note of who his band was that was playing. They were out of Phoenix, and I should have. I'll try and find a link there. But they were a great rockabilly band. Danny Romero was in the wedding. He got up and sang and played guitar for their first song, first dance. Brandon Sparks was the best man and kind of the MC of the night, bass player for Sky Daddy and the Pop Rocks. There was a bunch of musicians there, and it was a good time. So congratulations to Sky Conwell, Rhonda Ross for tying the knot yesterday, and look for Sky playing around town. He plays almost every single night. I guess they're taking a little short honeymoon, and he will be back on stage probably in the next week or two. So, and he's the hardest working guy in town. One thing too. Oh, also Saturday night at the Tobin Maxwell wedding reception, got a chance to see my friend Mike Dapper out of Phoenix, a stand-up comic. He kind of was in the entertainment. He did a nice long set, and it was hilarious as always. So thank you, Mike Dapper, for entertaining us. It was a lot of fun. And look for Mike Dapper coming soon at Bucky's. I want to say the 22nd, 23rd or so. Check Facebook. Look at Facebook, Mike Dapper Comedy on Facebook. He's got his schedule there. They will be he'll be along with a few other familiar faces at Bucky's Casino in mid-July. So look for that. What else we got? Oh, yeah, we're coming up on our 100th episode of the Mile High Show, and we've got something special planned. The only way we can get it scheduled how we wanted to is we're going to record. What's the date? I got to find it now. Hold on. But we're going to record with some special guests, and it will be in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day. I know it's not optimum, but with everybody's busy schedules, that was all we were able to do. So let's see. It will be Wednesday, July 20th at noon at Big Daddy E's. Wednesday, July 20th at noon. If you're in the area, tell you what, call in sick. Play. It's a play hooky from work day. Show on up. It's going to be a good time. Good food, good music, a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, and some great conversation. If you can, Wednesday, July 20th, 12 noon, at Big Daddy E's Barbecue in Chino Valley. Show on up. It's going to be a good time. Some special guests in store. And as we solidify that and get some confirmations, we will be announcing those. But it is a celebration of 100 episodes of the Mile High Show. So keep that in mind. Again, Wednesday the 20th of July at 12 noon. It'll air in a week or so after that for episode 100. The century mark. So mark your calendars. We hope you can join us. Be our audience out in the patio for a good time, a lot of fun at Big Daddy E's, July 20th at noon. But right now from Big Daddy E's, it's my new friend, Jack Osborne, and his Cigar Box Guitar. Oh, today's show also brought to you by Amazon. Go to milehighshow.com, click that Amazon link, and it'll take you to your Amazon login. You shop away as normal. And hey, how about picking up Obsessions with Cigar Box Guitars? 128 hand-built examples, a book highlighting exactly what we're talking about here, the art form of creating and playing cigar box guitars, just like my new friend from AZ Aardvark's Cigar Box Guitars, Mr. Jack Osborne. So sit back and enjoy. Thank you very much. That sounds good. What do you got, three strings on there?
Yeah. Traditionally, there were one string. They're called diddly bows.
You go set that down. Let's get to chatting. We'll play a little something later. He'll realize that nobody's going to bite him here, and he won't be so nervous. All right, Jack, what do you got there? What is that that you brought with you?
That is a classic American cigar box guitar.
And you were telling me those have been around for a little bit, huh?
Yeah, the first time they ever showed up in print was in what was called a boys' magazine in the late 1880s. It was actually a cigar box fiddle.
Now, were they? Was it instructions that came through there, or did they sell you a little kit? Not you. I don't mean you sold you a little kit. But did they sell the fellas a little kit to build it, or was it like instructions on how to use your dad's cigar box?
Well, basically, they started out, usually black musicians used them because they were poor. They start out with the broom. All the straw would wear out. They take the wire off that was holding the straw.
Yeah.
Put a hole in the cigar box, run the neck through it, nail it on, and use the wire for the string. The one string or dilly bow is the original cigar box guitar.
So just the one string, keep the beat, and play a little tune, huh?
Yep.
Now, I notice you've got something there on the side of your truck.
Mm-hmm,
plug away. What's your business? Is this is something you do as a vocation now?
Well, the wife and I, we do it on the side just to occupy ourselves. The company's called Arizona Aardvark's Cigar Box Guitars. And it's just something that I made one day and saw it on YouTube. I decided to make one. It works. I said, well, why don't I actually study it? so far we sold probably, I don't know, what, 50, 60 of them?
Nice. They're beautiful looking instruments. They sound great. And for the uneducated, like myself, I can't play a lick. I love music, love listening to it, can't play for the life of me, but it looks very basic. Is it considered like a real stripped-down basic instrument, or am I just simplifying something?
No, it is. It's about as simple as you can get. The original cigar box guitars did not have frets on them, so they were played like with a slide. That's where a lot of your old Delta blues greats, like B.B. King, Buddy Guy, Albert King... That's how they got started, because they were poor. Even George Benson started out on one.
Nice, nice. Now, how long have you been playing? Is guitar and music something you've been doing your whole life? Is it something you picked up since you got out from behind the wheel?
Since I was about 10, 12 years old, I started playing that. Then over the years, I started getting other things. I got out of it for a while during the 70s. Something happened to the 70s. I don't know. I got lost.
That sounds like a podcast for another day. The Lost Years of Jack.
There you go. But then I advanced later on in the years. I play slide guitar. I play electric guitar. I play mandolin. I play dobro. I play banjo.
Nice.
A ukulele.
Now you, and fiddle? Is that what,
fiddle.
Was that sign language I just picked up over there? What was you were telling me your home was Phoenix growing up for you?
Yes, sir, Southwest Phoenix.
Without I'm not going to put you on the spot and make you tell me your age, but what era are we talking about when you were a little tyke, when you were a 10-year-old Jack running around the Phoenix Valley? What was going on down there then?
Back then, it was pretty much guys like the Everly Brothers and such as that going on. The Beatles hadn't hit yet because
we're talking mid-50s?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm 64. I was born in 51.
Nice. What was the town like? Aside from the music, what was Phoenix like? I know what it's like now. I've been out here for a dozen or so years, and it's a metro area like anywhere else. What was it like for you as a youngster, as a family growing up in the 50s?
We didn't have really a whole lot. Mom and Dad didn't have a whole lot of money. Matter of fact, when they came out here from Oklahoma, they worked their way out here with the fields.
Huh.
And we had a simple life, you know, swamp cooler. That was normal. We got up in the morning, went out and played. And we went home when the streetlights come on.
Yeah. How was the population? What was it? From what I understand, late 70s, early 80s saw a pretty big boom.
It exploded. It was pretty thin. Where I grew up, on Fridays and Saturday nights, I could hear Manzanita Raceway, and the rest of the week it was all coyotes. But we didn't have the crime. We didn't have all the problems we did now. It used to be a 10-minute ride through the desert to get from Phoenix to Tempe.
Oh, wow. Now it's about 3 hours, depending on what time of day you're stuck in traffic.
Yeah, it's a unibrow all the way across the valley.
I was out there a week or two, about a week and a half ago. And I come from the San Francisco Bay Area where traffic was just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I used to travel about 30 miles from my front door, my driveway, to my parking space at work, about 30 miles, and it took me about 2.5 hours each way. Don't miss it a bit. And up here, obviously, we don't have, every once in a while, you'll have an accident or construction on the highway that'll back you up. But I was down in Phoenix a week and a half or so ago, and I was down like to the downtown area by the ballpark, and I had to pull off the freeway, take care of a couple things, had my son with me, and we were just trying to get back to the 17, and we went about 50 feet in over a half hour, and I was thinking to myself, I do not miss this.
Mm-mm.
How often do you get to Phoenix now, or do you try and stay up north as much as possible?
If I have to go once a year, it's too much.
How does that feel getting down there, knowing what it was like, you know, 50 years ago compared to how it is today?
It's familiar, but at the same time, it's like a foreign country.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near the same. A lot of the original landmarks that I used to know are gone.
Yeah. A bunch of new ones up, but they all look the same. Glass and steel, huh?
Glass and steel.
Yeah.
Well, it's the area where I grew up in. Everything's all Spanish now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like that here, too, right? At your own house.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, you had mentioned, we were talking before we plugged in here, that you used to ride.
Used to ride.
what was your two-wheeler of choice?
I used to ride Harleys. I started out on a 37 flathead.
Ooh.
But
if you still had that, that'd be worth a penny or two.
Yeah, I was a little 45-incher. Now, and then I liked Harleys, but my old bike of choice would be a Triumph.
Oh, I had an uncle rode Triumphs for a lot of years.
They're great bikes because back in those days, the Triumphs and Harleys were about as dependable on a long-distance ride either way. Either one was falling apart.
Carry a nice little toolkit with you.
Now you got all these new Japanese Harleys since the 69.
I was just going to ask you, what do you think of the Japanese cruisers?
We've had a couple of them. We had a couple of Evolutions, and they're nice bikes. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Since I'm stoke, I can't ride anymore,
I have a Kawasaki, a mm-hmm. Vulcan, big cruiser. It's a 2000cc. That's the biggest bike I've ever owned. Before that, I had a 1300 and a 1100, a couple of those that were
to me, big, good sized bikes. But when I got this 2000, that was a plenty bike for me. I love riding it.
You don't take no energy.
I took that down to took that down to Phoenix. Actually, I just started a quick little ride last Sunday, and ended up in a Prescott and grabbed some lunch and jumped on the highway. And before I knew it, I was down in Black Canyon, and it felt great until I started slowing down, got on the off ramp, and I realized how hot it was. So what's that place on 17 Black Canyon? The Rock Springs.
Rock Springs Cafe.
Pulled in there, got it, drank a couple gallons of water, and cooled off inside. Got back on the bike, and don't ask me why I went right instead of left and ended up in Phoenix. And I pulled off on the 101 loop in Peoria. And I'm not positive. I think the temperature was like, I think it was about 214 when I got off the bike. That's what it felt like anyway.
Well, the day it was 122 in Phoenix, I was driving a front loader garbage truck with no heat, no AC, fan, or nothing.
Yeah, it gets hot down there. It's nice up here. We've had a little heat up here this week. Excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat.
But the temperature wasn't like that when I was growing up, or at least I didn't notice it.
I've heard that from folks, and I don't know if it's because of just selective memory or if all the building and the concrete and the asphalt just make it hotter.
What I'm thinking, yeah. These heat islands.
Yeah, it's a little warm. It's been a little warm up here, but we got the nice little mountain breezes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So was your brothers and sisters, any siblings?
I got two older sisters. The youngest one is 12 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
So I was kind of like a guess what, pops? we got something coming.
Yeah, my mom and dad crammed six of us in 7 years. I'm the youngest. I'm the youngest of six. My sister is almost exactly 7 years older than me. This is the days before cable TV. They didn't have nothing else to do, I guess.
Well, there's eight in hers.
Oh my goodness! My mom and dad were both right about in the middle of 12 and 14 each. Yeah, there was a lot of them. I think they even lost count. I can't keep track of them all. But was mom and dad musical? Was
my mom? When she was growing up, her and her family, her mom and dad and her brother used to play for the other field workers there in Oklahoma. Yeah. And my mother's brother, my Uncle Jack, he went to play with Bob Wills for a while in the Texas Playboys.
Oh, nice, nice. I knew that name. Yeah, Bob Wills and
King of Texas Swing.
Yeah. So was that something encouraged growing up, or did you pick it up on your own?
They were all completely away from that by the time
really?
I come around.
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah. Were they still in ag businesses down in the Phoenix area when you came around?
My dad was my dad started in 1942, I think, was started with a company called Allison Steel. He was a burner in a burning department. And he stayed there, retired there after 38 years.
Hmm. And then you took up some driving. Was that your vocation for a lot of years?
No, I started out working in auto parts stores.
Oh, yeah?
Worked those primarily, and then in the late mid-70s, 75, 76, 77, me and my wife at the time, we moved up to Verde Valley. We split up, and I was working for Dave Perkins at his ranch north of Clarkdale.
Yeah.
Daytime for room and board. Worked at the Clarkdale newsstand with Nate and Irene for cash money. And on weekends, I'd grab my guitar or fiddle and head up to Jerome to play for the busk up there or play at the bars. Totally different then.
What was it like? Explain what Jerome was like when you were playing. And what years are we talking about?
Late 70s.
Yeah.
And majority of Jerome at the time thought it was still 68 and Hendrix is still alive.
I think there's a few folks up there that still think that.
Because Jerome was so laid back then. It wasn't touristy. There was maybe one or two trendy art shops, and that was pretty much it.
Mainly like a bohemian colony almost.
Pretty much, yeah.
What was the music scene like there? What were they playing? Was it mainly folk? Was it a little mix?
There was some folk. Country is kind of crowned on. Usually it was a lot of rock.
Yeah.
The acid rock wasn't really there, but it was a lot of folk. It was a mix of things. Yeah. Country was played, but it was didn't draw a crowd.
Was that more for this side of the hill, the Whiskey Row side? And
I think so, because Verde Valley wasn't nowhere near as congested as it is now. I mean, you, between Cottonwood and Clarkdale, you had Centerville, which was nothing, and there was nothing. I mean, it was dead space.
Yeah. Now, what were you playing?
I was playing guitar and fiddle.
What kind of music, though?
I primarily stuck with old-time country, what I grew up with. Yeah. That's what my mom and dad listened to.
Nice, nice.
Me and my buddy Tim, he owns Gardner's Recycling up there. We'd take off on a weekend, and he'd make sure I grabbed my fiddle because we could usually drink free.
What would you drink of choice?
Beer. Always beer.
Yeah. Still?
Yeah. Hard liquor, I like it too much. Until the next day, then it don't like me.
So when did you, you went from there, from the Verde area and playing in Jerome to Yarnell? Was there any stops in between?
No, actually, I moved back to Phoenix.
Oh, yeah?
Moved back to Phoenix, met my wife here. Matter of fact, our first date was February 13th, 1985. 2 weeks later, we moved in together. That following November, we got married.
He's a fast mover, isn't he? I'm going to put you on the spot. Where did he take you for the first date? The nightlife, is that still around?
No, it's not longer night. I feel it was an actual old fashioned type nightclub.
Yeah,
it was a great place. Great music, a lot of fun.
What kind of music were they playing there?
They were playing, I'd say, late '70s, early '80s, easy music, easy rock. You know, stuff that's good to dance to.
All right, pretend he's not here. Pretend he's not. I'm gonna put you on. How good of a dancer was he?
He's good. He's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good at slow dancing.
What was it about this young man in the bowler here sitting across from me that won you over?
He used to go in to the Circle K truck stop where I used to work. And him and his buddies would show up, and they'd had a few too many. And he would always buy a small carton of milk and a donut before he went home.
So you won her over with a donut and milk. I like that.
Oh, she
that's a smooth operator there, boy.
She 86'd me out of it one time.
What happened? Tell me what you did to get kicked out of a Circle K.
Well, I went in.
I've been kicked out of a Circle K. Is that the same company?
Yeah,
I'm not going to tell you why I got kicked out. It's my show. I don't have to, but you got to
tell me. Well, she told me I was inebriated for a simple fact that I had one of those car driving games, and I was walking around the store pushing it because it had a steering wheel. It was meant to be driven.
Troublemaker.
Yeah, but evidently she saw something in me, so.
Yeah. So just a couple months in, moving in, and then got married when?
November 23rd, 1985.
So, what is that, November, 10 months later? No, 7, 8 months, 6? I can't
count. From February.
9 months. Yeah. I can't. That shows you how bad I am. I can't even count to 11.
Well, here's how I worked everything. Our first date was February 13th, next day before Valentine's Day.
So you're supposed to date somebody the day after. You don't have to buy them a gift. That's what I've always heard.
Well, and then when on our anniversary, I did like my dad did. I got married 2 days before my wedding, before my birthday. That way I never forget my wedding anniversary. You got to have a plan, man.
I like it. That's the guy trying to simplify life. I like it. So what brought you to Yarnell?
We got tired of Phoenix. It was just
a hustle bustle.
Hustle bustle, all this stuff. And we took a drive up through back way to get to Yarnell and drove around town a while and looked at each other, says, let's move. So we sold our house at 20 years and moved.
Now, what year did you get to Yarnell?
2005.
05? How long were you there for?
4 years. We left there in 09.
Oh, okay. So not too long. So you've been here for a number of years then.
Yeah, we moved up here in 2010, December 2010.
Now, you were still playing around when you were in Yarnell, playing some guitar and places?
Yeah, we used to go up to a bar there in People's Valley called The Drifter.
Yeah.
And we went up there. We'd go up there every Friday night, Don and Carrie were leasing a building, and we had a great time. We had a lot of people show up to play.
Yeah.
Sometimes you didn't get a chance to play because there was too many people.
Like open mic style?
Yep.
Just kind of show up, and whoever's got get stage time gets it.
Yeah, it was a great big bar band, and everybody in the played in the bar was a member of the band.
Nice, nice. Who do you like playing with now, or is it just you just tinker around the house and that?
I just tinker around the house. I've been thinking about I've been working on things, thinking about getting back into, you know, maybe playing. Matter of fact, we bought me a new PA. We upgraded my guitar over here. Bought me a new guitar. And
so let's talk about these cigar box guitars a little bit more. Now, what when you start working on one, is it per order when a customer contacts you, or do you tinker with them and get them together and then put them up for sale?
If somebody wants one custom built, I'd do it. But primarily, I just we don't buy bulk boxes. We hand pick each box. Some of them we want banged up. Some of them we don't want banged up. It's just according to what we're doing with it.
Is that just for the aesthetics, the visual of it, or does it change the sound?
It changes the sound. I've got what I call a dead stick. I got a neck at the house with just the strings on it. I can lay it on a box and strum it, and it'll tell me what kind of it'll let me know if it's a good box for a guitar or not.
Huh, nice. Do you have a preference on brand of box?
No.
You don't look for specific wording or from different countries or whatever for when you start out making one?
I just look for unique boxes.
Yeah.
Try to find something that's unique, a little different. Some brands of boxes work better than other brands.
Like what? What have you found?
Romeo and Juliet's work good. Cohiba's work good. Romeo and Juliet's I pretty much stick with quite a bit. Right now, I can't think of the other ones, but I probably got a dozen different ones I like using. Acid, I like using Acid boxes. They work pretty good.
Interesting. Where do you hunt around for them? Do you?
If we go to the valley, we hit places down there. Sometimes I hit some of the shops up here.
Little antique shops and things?
No, cigar shops.
Oh, yeah? Oh, nice, nice.
But like I said, we're very picky on the boxes. We both have to – we never go shopping alone. We go together. We both have to agree on a box before we buy it.
Now, do you ever start with the full box and bring it home?
No.
No? You don't? You're not a smoker?
No, sir. Not a smoker.
No? Really?
Well, years ago, I used to smoke and drink, and it got to where I could only afford to do one.
So you made your choice.
So I made my choice.
Good, good, good.
You know, because you can go a whole life without smoking, but you only go 3 days without liquids.
I like that. I like it. How about the rest of it, the neck and things like that? Do you buy those constructed? Do you hone them yourself?
No, we buy the neck material. We only use hardwoods, usually red oak, maple, or poplar. I try to stick with red oak or maple. We manufacture the necks ourselves. It's a rather tedious process.
Yeah.
It's not complicated, but you got to know where to cut the neck to fit the box. You got to cut the box to fit the neck. Then you got to brace the neck. And then it comes to attaching it to the box.
Start to finish, from the concept and the kind of mental design, the mental goal of where you want to go for the final thing, to when you're plucking away on a final product. How long transpires? Well, how long does it take you to get one done?
Well, I can do a neck and a box. I can cut the neck and scarf it, which is putting the angle on the neck. Let it dry overnight. But during that time, I could be cutting the neck to fit the box, and the box fit the neck. That's one day. And then the next day, I usually start sanding the neck, and then I got to put a finish on it. So it takes about 4 days, because I got to let the neck dry between each two coats of finish.
For such a beautiful instrument and all handcrafted like that, that's not as long as I had anticipated. That's nice. You got it down to a pretty good deal there. Now, are they all three string? Is that how you do them up, or do you vary that a little bit as well?
No, I do ones, which are called dilly bows. Uh-huh. I do two stringers, which are called chuggers, and then I make their traditional three string, and then also do four stringers.
Four string
cigar box guitars.
Yeah, interesting.
And they're all open tuned.
And I've talked to Sky about that, and Les Lyman. You know Les?
Yes, sir.
They've tried to explain to a non-musician what do you call it again?
Open tuning.
Yeah, that's boil that down for a knucklehead. What does that mean?
If you tune it, there's different ways to tune things. If you got to tune to open tuning A when you strum it without touching the hitting the fretting or anything, that's an open A. Then your next octave up would be a B, then a C. If it's an open G, then your first fret would be an A. Second fret, third fret would be a B.
How does it change the way it sounds, though, when you're playing open tune as opposed to what's the flip side of that? What do they call that?
Just standard tuning.
Standard tuning.
But you can't really get into real intricate details when you're playing slide work.
Gotcha.
If you're a master at it, like Jerry Douglas, yes, you can get real technical.
Yeah.
But the majority of the people, they don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good players out there, but it takes years to be able to, yeah. to hit every, you know, bounce it around, hit every little note without getting a string buzz to it.
Now, do you make other instruments as well, or you limit yourself to the cigar box guitars?
I limit myself to the cigar box guitars. Yeah, I also make license plate guitars.
Nice, nice. Now, where do you get those supplies? Parking lots?
Well, movie theaters.
A lot of movie theaters. People are going to be tied up for a couple hours.
We hit thrift stores and antique shops.
Yeah.
A buddy of mine lives in Yarnell, Walter Eckes. He's a Marine, former POW. He supplied me with two POW plates a while back.
Oh, nice,
matching plates. So
very good.
And on those, the boxes, we have to make the box ourselves, and they're made out of hardwood as well.
And then what do you do, wrap it with the... Where does the plate come in?
The plate sits on top of on top where the bridge sits.
Okay.
And it comes out almost like a resonator guitar. It's got like a tinny sound.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Nice, nice. Well, you want to play us a couple of tunes? I didn't
know that. I'll bang on it.
Let's
some
see
for
where
you.
We're at. And let me, I gotta adjust this again. See, that wasn't too bad, was it?
No.
What do those run? What could somebody expect to put down for a guitar?
Three string electric is $119.
Nice, nice. Here, give me a little strum on there. Make sure we're still good. Play whatever you'd like. Gorgeous, man. That was great.
And the thing about these is, especially if you do a one stringer,
yeah.
People tell me, I don't know how to play. Well, you strum it, you put the slide on, and you hum. And you move this, hum a tune, and you just move it up till you get the same pitch.
Give us a little example.
Oh, geez. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Mm, do, 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 do.
Very nice. Thank you. Thank you. Do you sing as well, or do you leave that up to Letitia?
Oh, I sing as well, but this takes too much energy to,
gotcha,
to think of.
Gotcha.
But I sing. I like a lot of the old country. I do a little bit of blues, a lot of the old country. Some folk, you never know. I have a trouble remembering the words anymore, so I'm one of these guys, I got to have the music in front of me. I don't play by music, but I got to have the words in front of me because I get lost.
Nice, nice. Well, let's plug away again. How can folks reach you? Do you got a website or anything?
Just my Facebook page, AZ Aardvarks, CBG.
Nice. Phone number that you like to give out, or do you rather have them reach you on the...
I got an email address.
Plug away.
AZ Aardvarks, CBG. @gmail.com.
Very nice, Jack. Thank you very much. Hey, thanks for letting him come out and play. That was simple, right?
Relatively painless.
Relatively? What did we hurt him with? That's good. Well, thank you, Jack.
You're welcome, sir.
Well, that was our show. Again, please check out AZ Aardvark Cigar Box Guitars on Facebook. Check out Jack's personal page as well. There are links right here in our show notes. Use the Amazon link at milehighshow.com. It's a way to support our show financially without spending any extra money. It is you shopping online like normal, but Amazon gives us a little thank you for sending you their way. Again, thanks to Jack. Thanks to Eric at Big Daddy E's. And don't forget, Big Daddy E's on July, blah, 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 July 20th, which is a Wednesday, July 20th at 12 noon a lot of fun as we record episode 100 of the Mile High Show. Hey, and thank you for 95 episodes of support. We're having a good time doing this. I hope you're having a good time listening. Thanks again, Jack Osborne. Thanks to Big Daddy E's. And July 20th at 12 noon at Big Daddy E's. Hope to see you there.